The Whiz Kids had won it. Bobby Thompson had done it. And Yogi read the comics all the while. Rock and roll was being born. Marijuana we would scorn. So down on the corner, the national pastime went on trial. We're talking baseball. Klazuski, Campanella, talking baseball. The man and Bobby Feller, the scooter, the barber, and the nuke. They knew them all from Boston to Dubuque.
Live from the 1480 AM studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph Erdo and Greg Isaac and Eric Reinert, who's drinking a cup of coffee. How's the coffee, Eric?
He has a new machine out there.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from.
The coffee? Yeah.
It wasn't there yesterday, but today there's a new
coffee. Oh, you got a new coffee machine.
You're very welcome, Eric.
Because we love, is that my gift?
Yes.
Because we love
absolutely
coffee and baseball. Coffee and baseball is what's
coffee
happening.
And baseball.
Baseball, apple pie, and coffee. And
girls.
The big news today is Bikini and Beans, that coffee place. You heard
anything
about
that? Oh, I heard about that.
No, but I'm going.
You're going to be...
It's probably like $8 a cup of coffee.
I don't know. Well, you probably have to tip them for certain things, too.
What?
Two things.
Two?
What?
Delivering your coffee and what else?
I don't know.
And a sleeping bag.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
My mind's in the gutter.
But you got a haircut. I like your haircut.
Thank you. I did it myself.
You get it like every 2 weeks, right?
Every 2-3 weeks.
That's pretty good. I get it every 6 months.
I can see that.
Yeah. So anyway. Yeah. All right. So that's a nice song. Baseball, America's pastime.
We're talking baseball here on Breakthrough Entertainment's our baseball show, and that's Talking Baseball by Terry Cashman. Right?
Yeah. What's interesting is even though there's a big-time baseball movie that just came out, of course, which is
Million
the reason for the
arm.
Baseball show. Yes, there you go. And with John Hamm. You know, when you have Godzilla also coming out, it makes me wonder why we didn't have a destruction show or a lizard show or a dinosaur show.
You know
show.
What?
So it makes me wonder what you thought about the film.
Yes.
We'll find out later, but
to be honest,
some suspicions.
To be honest, I had the I'm not going to tell you what I thought of the movies yet, but
right.
Million Dollar Arm was screened before Godzilla and you know a few weeks ago and
Godzilla had to have been a million times better.
I'm not telling you one way or the other yet.
Eric,
yet,
I saw it too
assumption.
And I'm going to give my review today.
But
yeah.
But also Million Dollar Arm was screened very close to my house, and you know, so I want to thank Disney.
Absolutely.
You know, so we're giving them 3 hours
of
baseball
Disney.
Promotion here.
Yes,
go Disney.
And also, it's appropriate because I rounded second yesterday.
Oh, what date was that?
I'll tell you about that shortly.
Another pub crawl?
Yeah, another pub crawl.
No,
so I'll tell you about that shortly. I didn't see our friend Bobby.
Wait, that's dating terminology, Eric.
Yes, it sure is.
Yeah, rounding second.
I think everybody knows what second base is.
Well, I hit a double. Like,
oh, you did?
I didn't even go
was
to
it a ground
first
rule
base.
Double?
I have no idea.
Oh, you went right to
you
second?
Right
yeah,
through.
I went straight to second.
That's
you
very
stole
unusual.
A base.
I stole a base.
Wow.
I have no idea what
you
happened.
You swiped right through her.
Yeah.
I'm just
very
wondering
nice.
If you slid, you know, feet first or head first.
Yeah, go for head first.
Yeah, see, all this is appropriate because it was the inappropriate T-shirt crawl.
Oh, T-shirt
okay.
crawl.
Where was this taking place at?
In Old Town, and I keep waiting to see Eric there in Old Town at one of these crawls. But
yeah, me too.
Don't hold your breath.
Oh, come
oh.
on. It was a lot of fun. You know, everyone wore inappropriate T-shirts. Not the one I'm wearing Godzilla shirt right now.
Oh, it looked like
pretty
Godzilla.
Inappropriate.
Yeah, but there, you know, all these sexual euphemisms and innuendos and
like what? Or can you say
I can't say these things on the
can't
air, unfortunately.
This,
yeah.
No, we can't say
it. If you want to know some of the things, you'll have to send me an email.
We can listen to them off air,
yeah.
and then I'll decide whether some of them
okay.
are.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, or after dark.
Right, or after dark. But, you know, I really enjoyed hanging out with my friends, and I'm going to show you another picture here.
I got a place for you to do a crawl.
Where should we do a crawl?
Modern Margarita. We were there.
I know. I heard Modern Margarita.
It's very nice.
I've
very
been
nice.
There. That's very nice, yeah.
Yeah, like it. Good people, nice owner, good managers, GM, Richard Rush, I think. Rich Rush, we call him.
But do they have ladies look like that? Look at that young lady's leg there.
Oh, my God.
She's
I know her.
You know her? You recognize her by the thigh there?
It's my sister.
Oh, my.
No, I'm kidding.
What?
Absolutely disgusting.
Oh, very nice.
You're much younger than
your
sister.
Oh, wow. You look really...
Wow.
Joseph looks like...
I was going to say, look at the excitement that Dave is showing, but that's just his belly button.
I've got a wiener dog on my shirt. Just to, I'm not. That's all I'm going to tell you. I've got a wiener dog on my shirt.
Oscar Mayer.
I thought you were wearing a Godzilla shirt.
No, That's right
at
now,
the bar
but
crawl.
Last night at the bar crawl, yeah. Because
he's doing the
which
Matt
one of those two women, if either of
I didn't
them,
round
did
the second
it?
With either one of those. There was
I haven't heard that terminology.
Eric, he said he,
but
he
by the
said
way,
women were those.
By the way,
of beautiful
by
women.
I haven't heard that terminology since like
they're just
high
objects
school,
to him, Dave.
They are.
Yeah, they're not. They shouldn't
they're
be
not,
objects. Yeah.
They're not people. Come on.
What?
What? I'm kidding.
The
okay.
views expressed on this program are not necessarily or not. Greg, Eric, or myself. I'm Dave Eisen.
Okay,
I'm completely kidding. Yes, but no, they're...
Where do I get one of those objects?
If you want to know...
You have one.
Yes, you have one. Very, very good-looking one.
Okay, thank
and,
you.
But I really enjoyed the bar crawl again last night, and I had a lot of fun with my friends. You know, some of them who are listening, you know, including Margaret. Margaret was in the photo
Ooh,
there.
Margaret.
And Casey and Margaret were
her
in the photo.
Is her middle name Rita?
Oh, they found Casey?
They found Casey.
Casey at the bat.
You went up to Washington to see her. Very good.
Wow. But, yeah, so and I know our friend Bobby called in last week. She wanted to know where to get information on
Did
the bar crawl.
Did you see her?
I didn't see her, but she didn't. She probably didn't
she
know where it was.
She was the one with the leg there.
She was supposed to send me an email. So send us an email, entertainmentbreakthrough@gmail.com. Again, that's entertainmentbreakthrough@gmail.com if you want to know more information about these bar crawls.
Yeah.
We'll have to host one of them because I want to see you two there and twerking with the ladies.
I can twerk. I can crawl.
I'll just be the
Come
camera
on.
Guy.
I was twerking with... Three different people at the same time.
I don't even know what a twerk is.
Well, that,
I don't even
know.
If, is that have no idea?
That's called a twerk.
Do you not know what twerking is?
Yeah, I know what it is, but what is it called? No, when? Great. Oh, he doesn't. How do you not know what a twerk? I'll show you.
I'm an old.
Yeah, why don't you twerk him?
You know? I mean, I'm 28.
Go twerk, go twerk Greg.
Oh, okay, don't do that.
Oh my God.
Okay.
I
know what that
three
is.
Three twerking at one time is called a twerk.
Well, there was four of us twerking.
Isn't that a
twerk?
Wait, what are they all females?
Twerk.
No, a twerksome, right? A twerksome.
Twerky dinner.
Yeah.
Twerky. Like
is there a little gravy?
Twerky. Twerk orgy.
Oh, no. Huh? I'm not a turkey.
No,
I mean
not a turkey.
Twerky.
A turkey.
Yeah. Twerks.
No.
They're twerk. You're with
I
little
just had
twerks.
An image in my head.
But
Turking. What is it called again? I forgot already.
Twerking. But we had a wonderful time last
Very
night.
Good.
So, you know, yeah. I think everyone should
you got a little
check
action.
It out.
Good
yeah,
for you.
I
can
like
tell
I said,
there's a glow in your face right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, right away, right when I walked in, I said, he got some mild action. Not full-fledged action.
Well, the thing is, you know, second base was
I don't
you know,
remember
wild
what second
for me.
Base even is.
I don't even
so
know. I don't even know what I did. I just was told that I got there. So
I know what it is.
Wait, were you told that by the perpetrator?
No, by someone else.
Oh, okay. Someone was enjoying the view.
Yeah, someone was enjoying the view.
When you got
okay.
there, you had no idea?
I had no idea what was going on.
You
no,
don't
I knew
know,
what I was doing.
Then,
I feel like
so
we're back in the 90s. With
how can
all
you not
second,
know you're
second base is just beyond kissing.
Yeah,
a little
yeah.
Oh, I did. See, I didn't go to first base then.
You just skipped right to second.
Yeah, I just got handsy.
You hit a double.
I hit a double. I got handsy.
Anywhere near a triple, perhaps?
No. You know,
you
got
to use a lot of speed to get there.
My friend who does not wish for me to use his name on the air.
Yeah.
You got the second base with the
No. This guy thinks that I am like this
God.
Big player.
You're like Zilla.
He thinks I'm a player.
You are.
And he wanted me to, you know, do all these things.
I will say
and,
this, though,
and close,
Joseph.
And I'm like, no, I don't close. I'm a nice guy.
Yeah, no, Joseph is a nice guy. You've lost a lot of weight.
Yes,
but
thank you.
You have a toneness, the build to
up.
You.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're
so you
ready
definitely
for
tell that some of the
and it's
females,
interesting that a lot of the
even
some
L's would come out.
A lot of the women were actually they were calling me Mike. Still, they thought that I was
magical.
Still,
magic.
I was magic.
Well, you are
yeah.
sort of magical.
So,
yeah,
you know the last Grand Slam I had was at Denny's. They have the Grand Slam breakfast. It's really good.
Yeah, it's very good.
I was
going
to say she didn't have teeth either.
No, I liked it. It's really good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good for you, Dave.
Well,
That's
young Joseph. Young Joseph.
Yeah.
We're proud of you.
Thank you very much. Yeah. So, yeah, I met a lot of new friends, and so a lot more fun to come. And yeah.
Very good.
We need
crowned.
To host one of these.
You need to take that picture off the Breakthrough website of you.
I know. Of me. I know.
Because you look like you've eaten like 8 pizzas.
Actually, 9.
That was taken.
That was
more,
pizza night.
It was taken like 10 years ago.
Oh,
yeah. So.
Oh, wow.
No, you look a lot different because I saw that picture and I was like, "Wait, who's this guy that's writing?"
Yeah, I am very it's sexy. 602-252-1480. 602-252-1480. Joseph J. Erdo. J. In the center there. Yeah. All right. So we'll talk a little bit more about that later. We've got a big show planned though. Just as we said, it's our baseball show in honor of Million Dollar Arm. So let's tell our listeners a little bit about it. John Hamm. Ham, you know who that guy is, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's a showbiz Ham type of
That's
dude.
A perfect last name for an actor, Ham.
Yeah.
He's a very mad man, right?
Yes, he is.
Madman.
How does he smoke all those cigarettes?
I don't know, you know? I don't like cigarettes.
They're constantly like just like chain smoking on that show.
Yeah,
ooh.
I know.
They're herbal cigarettes, but still.
Well, that's what you did back in the Mad Men days, right?
Yep, that's how I grew up.
Mad Men.
What year was that? Was it about?
It takes place in the 60s.
60s, right, yeah, 60s. Okay. Well, you know, this one's a little more modern day. I think it was early 2000s. John Hamm plays a sports agent who stages an unconventional recruitment strategy to get talented Indian cricket players to play Major League Baseball. So I don't know that much about sports, but baseball and cricket, are they anything similar?
Oh,
sticky wicket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
I have no idea.
I don't think they're.
I know baseball.
They're only familiar in because you hit a ball with a bat. Of some
oh no,
sort,
no, yeah. Not in cricket. You dial numbers.
Well, you have to throw the ball as well, right?
No.
Yeah, somebody throws the ball to you and you hit it with a wicket.
No, cricket is a phone.
No. No, Dave. No,
it's a cellular service.
Jiminy, it's from Pinocchio.
All right.
Oh.
Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I tend to agree with Eric.
They're pretty different, but there is a technique to throwing the ball. It's not the same as throwing the ball in baseball.
It's an underhanded throw, right?
Yes, it's a very different throw. So
a windup.
They've got and this is based on a true story. They have to find out, you know, if they can actually they stage a contest to find these Indian cricket players who can throw the fastest.
Yes.
In the proper way. Mm-hmm. But also the most accurate, because, you know, you can't just throw the ball wildly, right?
No. Right.
Right. I mean, it takes aim.
No.
But when they underhand it, it's also closer to the ground, right? Like
you hit
it like you're hitting like a hockey puck.
Yes. Yes, I believe so.
I think it's like a low swing, yes.
A very low swing, yeah.
Yeah. And again, I don't know that much about baseball or
cricket
or rounding second or any of these things, but
you're learning.
Yes, but I'm learning.
Okay.
But yes, either one, you can break your finger.
Probably. Wow, Dave. We'll have to tell that story off air. But So what did you think of this trailer of Million Dollar Arm, Dave?
Well, the trailer looked okay.
Looked
but
okay?
Not great.
Okay.
Probably a thumbs up. I'm going to really guess you're going to give it. But it looked, you know, amusing. Good movie, but nothing to bring home to your mom.
Oh, wow. That's an interesting way to say it, but...
Am I right?
Well, it's rated PG, so you could probably bring this home to your mom. It's good for family.
Well,
audience.
Don't they go to second base on the
this
movie?
This is a... Well, some people do get there, but it's a
and
Disney
I'm assuming
movie.
It has to be the great legendary Bill Paxton who reaches second base.
He's... Yeah, there's... Well, there's
no
he's legendary
in our time.
Why is he legendary?
There's
Lake
man,
Bell.
There's Myth. Oh, yeah.
Lake Bell's in the movie as well.
Oh, nice. She's usually only in movies that she writes.
Yeah, she is. And that movie, yeah, we'll talk about that one later. I finally saw it. We've got some time to talk about that one later. Mm. But I don't like sports movies. You know, I don't
like
sports.
This one.
I don't like sports movies. But I love this one. Yeah. And you know why?
Because it's Disney. It's wholesome.
Well, no, because I don't necessarily like all the Disney sports movies. I like this one because there's hardly any sports in it.
Cool Runnings?
No, I love Cool Runnings.
Rookie.
Yes.
That
cool
was
Runnings
cool.
Is excellent.
Yeah.
The Rookie.
The Rookie's okay.
Yes, it's also based on a true story. They're always based on true stories.
They're always based on true stories. Yeah. But this one is interesting because it's not necessarily about the sport.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, baseball goes, you don't have to know anything about baseball or cricket. Mm. All you have to know is these people have to throw this ball fast and accurate.
Right.
They're never on a field. They're never playing baseball in this movie. They're just throwing the ball.
They're just practicing throwing the ball.
Yes, and because they hold this
sounds
contest.
Sounds so great.
Yawn.
Oh, come on. But there's
you.
Also a fascinating drama in the movie all about how these young men come from India to America. They have no idea what they're doing here. And the guy who brought them here, John Hamm, is treating them like they're just like objects.
When was this movie based out of? Was it in the 90s?
I believe 80s? It was the 2000s.
Oh, so it was somewhat recent.
It was
when
somewhat recent,
really
yes.
Oh,
I believe
okay.
so. And it's a spectacularly solid entry in Disney's sports movie canon. It's got remarkably wide appeal, including myself, you know, since I don't like sports movies, because its focus is on its heart. And the incredibly inspirational story than on the sport itself. That's all I want from a sports movie. Not everybody likes sports. Let's face it. So you've got to have a little bit of both here. And that's what Million Dollar Arm has got. Takes a look at the tale that can be told in such a way that doesn't necessarily follow the genre's all too often predictable path. Because, you know, that's what sports movies, they all have the predictable path of the underdogs. And you've got the montage, right?
Montage.
Montage. That's about twerking with three.
Right. That's, you know, wow, that's a good way of putting it. But, yeah, and then you've got in some spectacular scenes in India. India is a beautiful place. You got the Taj Mahal. We get to see that. It's filmed on location. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, then you've got the fish out of water tale when the kids come back, you know, teenagers come back to the United States. It's a very charming movie. It's amusing. It's a crowd-pleasing home run. Yes. Or whatever the cricket equivalent of that is. And, of course, I'm giving Million Dollar Arm a thumbs up.
So leading things off with a thumbs up. Very
nice. Yeah, so we hit a home right off the bat. And so I want to congratulate Disney on a very fine movie. And, again, they screened it nice and close for me. And so, you know, might have got a few extra points just in terms
of
getting
the reason why.
No, not the thumbs up. Like, that's why they're getting the 3 hours.
Tonight. No, I meant they screened it close just for you, basically.
I hope they did.
Everyone else out there, like, for Joseph, we're going to do that. And
I was over there at the Harkins Norterra where they screened this one.
Oh, nice.
Very nice theater.
So you had a little
Happy
mellow
Valley.
Mushroom before?
No, I didn't. Good, I didn't have a mellow mushroom.
Did you have popcorn?
I bet that, Greg, you probably wanted to mellow something else.
No.
Oh, and that's
Mellow
Eric.
Yellow.
Huh? What?
Mellow Yellow. That was
mellow
the song.
Yellow.
No, I really do like their pizza, though.
Yeah, they do have good pizza, but it's expensive, though.
As you know, I'm already hungry. I did have a light breakfast, but, you know. Right now I'm already
well there's a banana out there. I know there's some granola bars and a banana. I know you don't eat
He's healthy.
Horrible things.
But come on, when you go to a baseball game.
I brought a granola bar. Maybe I forgot it.
But when you go to a baseball game, don't you have a hot dog?
I don't.
Why?
But
hot dogs are one of the worst things you can put in your mouth.
Absolutely. He was like very hot dogs, right? Don't you,
but
Dave?
Chicken dogs are
No, I don't have hot dogs, but
I don't either.
Greg was Greg was very happy to see that banana. You were very happy.
What?
Was that a banana?
Yeah.
Are you just glad to see me?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, see, that was on one of the shirts.
Oh, it was. Oh, okay.
Something about mustaches, too. 50 cents.
My God.
You know.
Yeah.
Yes. I have to go to one of these things.
Yeah, you should. But, yeah, so definitely go see Million Dollar Arm. Regardless if you like sports movies, if you know anything about baseball. Yeah. Again, I have no idea.
Again, Bill Paxton's in it, so it has to be an amazing film.
He's good.
Yeah, and Alan Arkin as well, even though he's asleep during half of the film.
Yeah.
That's his acting style.
It is. That's all he pretty much has
to do.
He's
old.
I know.
I can't have fun with my normal humor here because Dave always thinks we're being serious even when we're not. Although with Bill Paxton, he's really not. He is a good actor.
He's getting up there.
Obviously, I'm pushing. No, I halfway mean it. Obviously, halfway, you know, just joking.
Halfway to second base.
Okay,
halfway to second base.
I'll shut up here until the next segment.
I don't know. Well, do you know, during the break, you're going to have to tell me what a home run is. Well,
On the break.
That's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Well,
I
were
have
talking
no idea.
About hot dogs
I didn't
earlier.
Get there.
Hot dogs?
We'll explain.
Well, yeah, tell
in fact,
me.
I have some pictures in my youth. Of,
that's exciting. Yeah. So you guys fill me in on that during the break. And in the meantime, let's treat our listeners to a song from Million Dollar Arm, Million Dollar Dream by Iggy Azalea.
Yes. Now, Joseph, females have this body. Oh, wait. We're not off yet.
What is this, Deliverance?
It's Indian Deliverance.
Oh, this is from Deliverance.
No.
It was sung by Bill Paxton.
I got the Million Dollar Dream.
No, it's Deliverance.
Because I got the Million Dollar Arm.
No, this is... Oh, is that what they're saying?
Yeah, it's from the movie.
It has a nice beat.
It's the same guy who scored Who Wants to Be a Millionaire movie.
Oh, I saw that. That was a good one. I love that one.
Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah. That was a pretty good movie.
Speaking of scoring, we'll include that terminology.
Oh, scoring?
As well
excellent.
In your lesson.
Yeah.
All right.
That'll be similar to what we'll discuss on
Can't
the break.
Wait.
And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX. We'll be right back.
Are you a restaurant owner who panics if your AC goes down in the dog days of summer? Extreme Cooling finds that equipment usually breaks down unnecessarily, costing restaurant owners time and money. For this reason, Extreme Cooling promotes and specializes in proactive service plans designed specifically to keep all of your refrigeration equipment operating properly, as designed, all year long. Extreme Cooling is here to help you with all of your refrigeration needs, knowing that saving money is your top concern. Our number is 623-810-8513. When you want to start saving money, call Extreme Cooling. Do you suffer from not having enough fun? We could take care of that. Pino's Palette is the upscale paint and bring-your-own-beverage studio located off of Tatum and Shea. We're a group painting class where you can bring your own alcohol or non-alcoholic beverage, and our trained artists will lead you through step by step in recreating the featured painting of the night. No art experience necessary. Drink in one hand and paintbrush in another. We are a great night out for any occasion. Pino's Palette. Paint, drink, and have fun.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
More than 60,000 people are diagnosed with Parkinson's disease each year, thousands of them here in the Valley. Thankfully, one of the nation's top treatment facilities is located in the heart of Phoenix, the Muhammad Ali Parkinson Center. Parkinson Network of Arizona raises funds to help patients and families receive the crucial educational and activity-based classes offered through the center. 1480 and Parkinson Network of Arizona invite you to become involved and make a difference in the lives of those with Parkinson's. Go online to ParkinsonNetworkAZ.org to find out about upcoming events, including the largest Parkinson's walk in the state, Walk the Fight, and learn how your donation stays local to provide life-changing opportunities. Once again, that's ParkinsonNetworkAZ.org.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
That's a story of Joseph's life. Ladies and gentlemen, one, two, three strikes, you're out. And that is his dating history.
Apparently I was caught stealing, that's all.
Well, yes, after Joseph told us more of the story, I am confirming Joseph was caught stealing second base, so he's partly there.
Uh-oh.
We'll work on this.
No, I think it was no, it wasn't.
I was invited to steal.
I've seen the pictures. It's well, not second at all.
We've umpired it. But you know what? It was respectful what Joseph did. That's why.
I'm still on the bench, but that's good enough.
That's okay.
Yeah,
but
actually, at least I'm in the game.
By his own doing, though, that's the thing. But that's also interesting, so we'll have to figure this out.
Yeah. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. And I like that song. They always play that, of course, right there at the bottom of the right after the top of the seventh, right, Craig? They play that song, I believe.
I have no idea.
Well, there's a lot of different versions of that, but that version is by Lone Star, Take Me Out to the Ball Game. The movie's called Everyone's Hero. Did you ever see that animated adventure?
I did not.
Never heard of it.
Really?
No, I have not heard of it.
Don't look at me.
It's got a talking bat and a talking ball.
We look at the talking ball because it's a little mirror, so we got to make sure.
Can you see me through that glass, or is it
a little bit? Just a little bit.
Are you watching me?
Would it help if I turn the light on?
Are you talking to me? Oh,
Anyway, Everyone's Hero. It's about a talking bat, a talking ball. It's an animated adventure. I think Ed Asner voices the talking ball, and I don't know. No, you know what?
Sounds fascinating.
It sounds ridiculous, but at least it's not the same old animated adventure that we've always gotten. That was a few years ago.
Ed Asner was in Up, too, wasn't he?
I believe so. It might not be Ed Asner. I don't know.
Yes, it was.
I just know it was an animated adventure. Anyway, let's move on from there. It's Breakthrough Entertainment's baseball show, and that's why we're playing music from all these different baseball movies. And of course, we are, you know, this is all in collaboration with the release of Million Dollar Arm. And so we've got someone on the line right now who had a Million Dollar Arm, at least at one point. We've got on former MLB star Bill Dennehy.
Oh, I'm sure he still has a good arm.
He'll probably, well, let's find out. He's written this book, so at least he's got a, you know, a good arm to do some writing. Rage, the legend of baseball, Bill Dennehy. Thank you so much for joining us, Bill.
Well, thank you guys for having me on.
Absolutely. And yeah, so let me tell our listeners a little bit about you. You know, this is a pretty big story here, but let's just give our listeners a taste. You were armed with the combination of great athletic ability and hard work ethic when you signed a deal to be a pitcher for the New York Mets in 1967. You were on top of the world, fast-tracking to a successful stint in baseball until what happened? Tell us.
Well, I actually, you know, it started that year in spring training. I was, you know, just really going down to spring training to be one of those proverbial cups of coffee to see how the big leaguers played and everything. And it turned out Jack Fisher, one of our starters, his daughter fell down a slide at a pool one morning, and she had to be taken to the hospital with a cut. And so they just came over to my locker and they said, you're going to start today's game today. And it turned out that it was an exhibition game against the Cincinnati Reds. First hitter up was Pete Rose, and I struck him out with three straight fastballs. Ended up striking out six in three innings. And then that opened up a couple eyes, so it was Russian roulette after that. You know, the first time I probably screwed up, I would have been sent out, but I didn't screw up, and I led the team in strikeouts and earned run average, and opened up the season in New York. Got into the fifth, almost the sixth inning with a no-hitter against the Philadelphia Phillies. Tom Seaver, who I came up with, and myself, both in our first starts, set a record that was just broken by Matt Harvey 2 years ago for the most strikeouts in the first game by a rookie pitcher. We held that record for, I think it was 47 years. But I had lost my first four starts. There was a an article that was in one of the New York papers saying that I should sue the Mets for non-support, because I was getting beaten games 2-0, 3-1, 3-2, 4-2. They just weren't scoring any runs, and I was pitching against the Giants this one Wednesday night. And as I was getting to leave the clubhouse, Yogi Berra gave me my warm-up ball, and he said, okay, Lamb, go out there and pitch us a shutout and gain us a tie. Of course, I was pitching against the Hall of Famer Juan Marichal that night against the Giants, and, you know, that's kind of not what you want to hear when you start to warm up. But as I was going through the clubhouse doors, one of my older teammates came over and he said, here, take this pill, it'll add 3 feet to your fastball. And I was 21, I was the youngest player on the Mets team at the time, and you know, I didn't think anything of it. Neil's going to make me throw a little harder. Okay, great. I didn't think about, you know, what the consequences might be. So I just took it, and I could tell from my first warm-up toss in the bullpen that I did have that extra 3 feet. And when I got to the mound, it was like, boy, it was like playing against the kids. You know, there was Mays and McCovey and Jim Ray Hart and Tom Haller. And I literally could say, here's a fastball coming, guys. And the best they could do was foul it off. Wow. I struck out Mays the first time up. And the second time up, I struck him out. But as I struck him out, I probably overthrew a slider and I tore a muscle in the back part of my shoulder. We think it's now the teres minor muscle. And the pill that I took was a 20 milligram Black Beauty, which is a really high voltage amphetamine. And from that point on, I never quite threw that hard again. And, you know, after a series of, you know, cortisone shots and painkillers and trips to the disabled list and everything. My career, you know, mercuried right out of baseball, and I was gone by the time I was 26.
Wow. Well, and that's what the book you know, tells everyone about, Rage, the Legend of Baseball. Bill Dennehy, it chronicles your rise and subsequent fall. You got addiction, anger, loss, and you know, who can blame you for, you know, that's what life throws at you, right?
Well, the thing that probably got me the angriest, and it stayed with me for the longest time, is I actually, when I was with the Mets, they sent me down to AAA. I went down there, had a couple starts. My arm was still bothering me and everything. They sent me to a doctor in the hospital, and I had a procedure where they shot dye into your arm. And you were awake. You're on the you know, table looking at the monitor, and if while they were shooting this dye in, if it bubbled, that told you that there was a tear, you know, in your shoulder. And you know, I could see, and the doctor pointed out that there was a tear. Well, for some reason, they never addressed that tear. I got, you know, traded to Washington in that famous Gil Hodges deal, you know, being the first player in Major League history ever traded for a manager. But it was never discussed about that tear, and our doctor in Washington was Dr. George Resta, who was a really good physician, but he was also the doctor for the Washington and Redskins. And as you know, the football players, because of the shortened season and the shortened amount of games, they got to get back on the field very quickly. So they get a huge amount of cortisone to fix, you know, a bum knee or a sore shoulder or whatever it might be. And I ended up taking or getting from the ball club 57 shots of cortisone in 26 months. You know, I mention that now to any of the doctors that I run into, and they're going like, oh, my God, you know, who gave you that stuff? And I said, the team did back then. So a lot of the anger was first, you know, caused by the fact that they didn't address the tear. You know, cortisone shots don't address a tear. You got to fix a tear. You got to reattach it. And the second thing was that cortisone is a cortical steroid. And I think what I developed along with the painkillers and the inflammation drugs, literally cortical rage, where, you know, they talk about steroid rage and stuff like this. I ended up time having problems being able to just be in a normal confrontation with somebody, you know, in the corporate world or something, before I would just kind of go berserk a little bit. The next thing you know, I didn't get in any fights. I never got arrested and everything, but it, you know, several times I told my boss, you know, listen, if we can't get this thing resolved, why don't we step outside and we'll get it resolved there. So that's really what it caused, and it still has caused me problems right up to this day, 22 years after being clean and sober without any relapses.
Wow. That, you know, that's I'm just wondering if you had any recourse against some of the team doctors on that type of situation.
Well, you know, funny that you asked that. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's going on now about concussions in football. And there have been several of us ball players that filed suit, you know, in court in California, looking at, you know, the medical treatment we received. And it turned out the National Football League, the National Basketball Association, and Major League Baseball filed a claim saying that this happened many years ago. You know, they didn't have records of all these things actually happening, so they don't know whether they really did or they didn't do. And we lost the first case, lost in the appellate court. However, in the appellate court, it did state that if you had, you know, certain criteria, you could move on with your suit. And fortunately for me, because of the fact of, you know, the cortisone shots I had, and plus the fact that, you know, I had rotator cuff surgery, I've lost the sight of both my eyes, you know, I've had, you know, some back surgery and stuff like this. Although we can't directly pinpoint this to being attributed to the cortisone, it definitely looks like it did. And now I'm actually, you know, working with a counselor on something called intermittent explosive disorder, which means nothing more than, you know, you and I can be in a conversation, and just like we are now, nice and quiet, and, you know, I'm telling my story, you're asking me questions, and then you say something, and next thing you know, I pound my fist on the table, and I start yelling at you, and, you know, so we know that there's something chemically that was caused by all this cortisone that, you know, we're trying to take care of and prove that it was caused by all these cortisone shots.
Now, have you ever looked back? I know it's not good to look back, but however, if they had a different treatment, maybe surgery and just some other type of therapy, that may have changed the whole course of your career, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And they did have surgery back then. You know, for some reason, and I heard, you know, a comment that was made last year during the World Series when Tim McCarver was talking about the trade that sent Ernie Broglio from the Cardinals to the Cubs for who's the all-time leading or the second all-time leading stolen base guy? Lou Brock.
Yeah.
And they were saying that, you know, everyone got to a point where they're saying, boy, you know, the Cardinals made a great deal. You know, they stole away Lou Brock and stuff like this. Well, they didn't, the Cardinals, even tell the Cubs that Ernie Broglio was coming off shoulder surgery. So not only were they getting a pitcher that was up in age, he was coming off a severe, you know, shoulder surgery. And until 1983, when baseball got together and said that, you know, now when you make a trade, you have to disclose what a player's medical records are. You know, team could swap players, and it's the buyers beware. And that is what caused a lot of the problems back then and certainly during the time that I played.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now, although the addiction that you had, it seemed to be, unfortunately, through the doctors, you know, treatment and medication that they gave you, there was also a very famous, and you may know this gentleman, in football that actually, unfortunately, had an addiction that, but he sort of knew about it, of course, Tony Mandridge. Ever hear of Tony?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and he wrote a book as well. Is there any parallels there between you and Tony?
Well, again, the there's certainly some parallels, but I think, you know, the big difference is the time frame in the scheduling in football. You know, you have a week to get ready, you know, from game to game in football, and there really isn't a lot of time to be able to heal. You know, your baseball season runs 6 to 7 months or something, so you can be put on the disabled list for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or something like that, get a chance to rehab and, you know, get to the point of doing some exercises and stuff, you know, all stuff that they didn't have back when I played. But, you know, here's one of the things that, I mean, this is just common sense. I had beat the Braves for my only victory in New York on a Sunday. After the game, we flew out to Los Angeles, and I was warming up that Tuesday in the first inning, just warming up for my next scheduled start, which was that next Friday night in San Francisco against the Giants. And we got into trouble in the first inning, and we hadn't been playing well, and our manager, Wes Westrom, was feeling the pressure that he might get removed as manager. And he actually stuck me in the game in the first inning. This is like 10 days after coming off the disabled list, and just 1 day after pitching, you know, six plus innings in my first start back, and I don't know if I re-tore it or if I just, you know, strained it again and everything. But if you look at today's, you know, top players, you know, nobody would take a prospect and pitch him on a Sunday and then 2 days later put him in a game, you know. So, you know, that was stupidity then, and it would be stupidity now. That just shouldn't have happened.
You know, just a couple other questions. the type of steroids you described, it raises blood sugar, which can lead to blindness. Did you ever have diabetes as a result of some of the mistreatment you received?
No, I did not. And, you know, a couple of good friends of mine that are doctors were talking to me recently about the difference in cortisone. They said, if you think of just motor oil, they said back, you know, when I played in the 60s and 70s, he said the motor oil and the cortisone we were given was like sludge. You know, today it's like a high premium, you know, oil that you would stick in, you know, a Mercedes or something like that. So it was also, you know, the thickness and the strength of, you know, the shots that we were taking. And, you know, one of the things that cortisone does is it masks pain. So a lot of times you would go out there, you know, with a tear or with a really bad strain in your shoulder, you wouldn't feel any pain. Plus, if that didn't, you know, work completely, you know, you could always get a couple painkillers and go out there and pitch. And until a couple days later when all this stuff wore out and your arm started throbbing like you, you know, had a knife in it or something, did you realize that you probably shouldn't have pitched at all, never mind pitched with, you know, this medication.
Right. Well, Bill, one final question for you. Since we're talking about the movie Million Dollar Arm, how fast were you able to pitch, you know, throw the ball prior to, you know, any of the drugs? And then how about afterward?
Well, back then they didn't have, they were just starting to come out with radar guns, and they were just, actually they were using the radar guns that police use when you caught on the highways or something. I got clocked at about 96.
Wow.
The only person that I knew of that came close to 100 digits, or I should say 3 digits, 100 miles an hour, was Nolan Ryan. And I know for a fact I warmed up against him a couple times in spring training, and there was a definite pop, pop when we threw alongside each other, and I was the second pop. But without a doubt, after I hurt my arm, if I had enough rest, if I had a couple of days rest or something, I could probably get it up to the mid-90s. But I would say that for the most part, I was probably hovering around, you know, just below 90 miles an hour. And some people will say, well, you're only talking about, you know, 5 or 6 miles an hour. Well, 5 to 6 miles an hour, you know, can make a difference between, you know, having a guy pop the ball up the center or backing up third.
Absolutely.
And towards the end there, I was doing an awful lot of backing up third.
Yes, yes, well, definitely. And, you know, again, we've heard a lot of the story, but certainly not all of it. If people want to hear the rest of the story, and I certainly do, check out Rage, the Legend of Baseball, Bill Dennehy. Again, Bill, thank you so much for joining us. I assume people can get it on Amazon and other places where books are sold?
Yes, you could go to your favorite bookstore and order it there. And, gentlemen, I just want to thank you very much for having me on this morning. I lived in Tucson for a while and got into Phoenix, and it's a lovely part of the country. And I really appreciate giving me the time to come on here to promote the book.
Well, we really appreciate having you. Thank you for helping us celebrate the baseball movies today.
Without a doubt. And, you know, I know Tom House very, very well and everything. And it's a true story, this movie. And I listened to some of the promos that have been done about it and everything. And I think if anybody wants to go out there and see a really dynamic, true story, this movie has it.
Excellent. Wonderful. See, I gave it a thumbs up. And, you know, you're backing it there, too. Well, thank you again, Bill. It's so much for joining us. Have a great afternoon.
Okay. Thank you for having me again. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. What a interesting story that is.
I might read that.
Yeah, I think it's a good read, and I think also somewhat a tragedy that being mishandled like that.
I know,
that.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's.
But,
I mean,
you know, what year was that?
The 60s.
Yeah, late 60s.
Yeah, because I was looking at pictures of his baseball cards, and they look pretty old. But, they just didn't know how to handle things like that very well back then.
Or they did, and they wasn't very good. I mean, you know, look at they've had controversy in baseball, right, Greg, for a long time with steroids, and they're obviously trying to clean it up, and hopefully they have. But it's a very unfortunate, and in his case, though, he didn't intentionally, you know, take that. I mean, the doctor,
right.
I mean, I think there's a difference.
Right, right. And, yeah. You know, again, so check out the book. And just some behind-the-scenes information here. When Dave asks a question and he knows it's a good one, he, like, celebrates.
I know,
in
he
the
gets
studio.
All excited in there.
Yeah, he gets excited. And then, so this time I started twerking because that's my new, like, celebration dance.
Oh, yeah.
And then Greg also found out Tom House is played by who?
The greatest actor of our time.
Bill Paxton.
The Bill Paxton.
But
I
don't want to take credit for all my questions. The medical question was from my lovely wife, Tricia, because she knew about how it could lead to raising blood sugar. It was a great question. And luckily that didn't happen. He still has, unfortunately, a lot of issues, and we wish him very, very well.
Yes, we do. Yeah. And well, in the meantime, let's go to a break. John Fogerty is going to sing us into the break. Center field, we're celebrating baseball movies
that.
Here, and this is from
song.
Bad News Bears with Billy Bob Thornton. I like that one.
The new Bad News.
Yeah, the new Bad News Bears.
But it's nevertheless a great song.
Yeah, you know the chorus to this one. I'm sure we could do that.
Ask Greg for a pass.
We can do that. You've got it. We need center field.
Well, we
got
to ask Eric. No, we have to ask Eric.
Here we go.
Eric,
you ready?
Eric's in charge.
Put me in, coach.
Eric's in charge.
Oh, I'm ready to play.
Eric controls the mic. Eric controls the mic.
Put me in, coach.
He controls the mic.
I'm ready to play today.
Oh, good. There we go. Thank you.
I could be center field.
I love it. Okay, and this is 1480 AM KPHX Breakthrough Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerham Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633. Or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
And It is a beautiful day for baseball, ladies and gentlemen. D-backs, Dodgers, tonight, 5 o'clock, get out there. It'll be, and you're singing.
Wait, we already have the pass, though.
I just said hullabaloo. Yeah.
No, we have the pass.
Oh, I wasn't Clinton. Singing Eric if I'm just speaking the song.
You're going to have to turn off your mic.
Not only that,
that's I'll use the other mic, then. I'll
that
chair.
I have to turn that
no,
one
no,
on, too.
No, no, on these chairs over there, and even Dave's chair. There are shockers, so what will happen is you'll be shocked and you'll go through the roof.
Sounds hot. But
see the roof right? Oh, my God. See the roof up there? It looks like it's been taken off. That was the last
if
person
the,
that
if the airbags
there,
are missing out of
yeah,
your steering
airbags,
wheel, you're,
know.
You, know,
absolutely.
You know what's
wow.
going on.
Yeah.
Did you see
you
the movie?
I saw that scene, yes.
It was funny.
But you didn't see the movie yet.
I have not.
Well, Eric.
So it is the baseball theme
Breakthrough Entertainment's
today.
Baseball show. Yeah, you're Dave Isaac. I'm Joseph J. Erdo. Over and there's Greg Isaac, and we've got Eric Reinert.
We like Eric.
Well, thank you. I like you, too.
Wow. Okay, did you want to say
sounds
something
kind
else?
Of fishy.
Was that even in question?
Yeah.
No, Eric is well, I just want to give a shout-out for this station. It's such
yes,
a great station. Eric,
is.
Kathleen,
thank you.
The owner. Really, you know, great people.
Great,
great people.
Shows during the week as well.
No, oh, excellent shows.
And I was going to say, before our pre-recorded interview with actor Dan Fogler coming up, the segment's brought to you by North Mountain Brewing Company. Go ahead and visit northmountainbrewing.com. Located 522 East Dunlap Avenue in the Sunny Slope area. Of course, Sunday brunch tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. every Sunday. So check it out if you're looking for brunch opportunities. And also on their website now, selling some official merchandise for North Mountain Brewing Company. So pick up your T-shirts and all your good stuff. NorthMountainBrewing.com.
Absolutely.
Nice.
Definitely great stuff.
It.
Great
yes.
place to go after a ball game.
Or even anytime.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah. I'm just trying to keep it in the...
Keep
all
it
right.
in the family.
Well, anyway, that song that brought us into this segment is It's a Beautiful Day for a Ball Game by Harry Simone Corral. An older
That's
song.
That's easy for you to say.
Well, yeah, it doesn't look right to me. Cause, but
it doesn't
anyway.
Look right. Did he write it or
well,
not?
Corral. I don't know. It's an older
Corral
song.
These or things, Coral?
I don't know. What?
Is it Corral or Coral?
I went to the Corral once.
Yeah, oh, the OK
Corral? I was told that when I go to the bar,
were you
bar crawl, I go carousing.
Oh, I love carousing.
Yeah, I smell like carousing. I've got carousing on me.
Oh, and that's not second
I don't
base.
Know. Well, anyway, this
that sounds like cigarette smoke and beer.
Yeah, I bet it is.
Well, and the movie was the Benchwarmers, and that's a really good. I like that baseball movie.
It was good.
David
yeah.
Spade,
yeah.
Rob Schneider.
My son was just watching that last weekend.
Oh, really? I like David Spade. He's funny.
Yeah, he's from here, too.
Yeah.
Who was the Napoleon Dynamite? Oh,
John Heater.
Heater. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
He can throw the heaters.
He knows how to dance.
How do you know?
Canned Heat. He's got Canned Heat.
Oh, that was a musical group. Canned Heat.
Right.
Remember?
And I know, Greg, I think we were supposed to play the interview, but I'm pretty sure it's too long for this segment because I think that we don't have enough time for the pre-recorded interview.
Which one?
It's the last file there. The
Don Peyote?
Yeah. I think it's too long for this.
How
segment.
Many minutes is it?
I think it's about six or, you know. So I think we'll have to wait until the next hour.
It's 6:18, so, you're going to have to wait.
We'll wait for the next hour. But, okay, you know, but it's a great interview. We're going to talk about Don Peyote.
Peyote.
We're going to review it a little bit later in the show in our third hour. But, you know, I know
we could review Godzilla now, though.
No, not. There's not enough time to talk about Godzilla. Is our primary spot here in our next segment. Yes.
Are you kidding me?
I plan these things
you're
out.
You're kidding me.
You've heard our radio
you're killing
show.
Me. You're killing
our
me.
Our behind-the-scenes radio show.
You're the great producer.
Thank you very much.
He's good.
Yeah, you only got about 3 minutes left for this segment.
Oh, three then minutes left? Like, and then we die?
Yeah, and then it's the end of the world.
Then I do my monologue.
If you sing, there's a
chance. It's end times.
There is that movie.
Ooh.
There is that Robin Williams movie coming out, The Angriest Man in Brooklyn, I think comes out next week, where
Angriest
he's given
man?
90 minutes.
I'm the most interesting.
Mila Kunis tells him. No,
I am.
Mila Kunis tells him that he's got 90 minutes before he's going to die.
Wow. Oh, then what happens?
So he's got to go and make amends with all the people in his life.
Oh, wow. That would take Greg longer.
Yeah, that would take a long time.
Yeah. I don't think I'd have I'd need more than 90 minutes.
Oh, you win?
90 days?
With all the girls that... All the girls.
All the girls that I've taken advantage of? How horrible, no?
You're a celebrity.
You pig.
I just got a text from one of the guys. He had no idea what happened at our last stop at the bar crawl.
Well,
he didn't even know if he was there. So
that's not good.
That's not good.
Well, he wasn't driving.
Well, Joseph, you didn't know where your hands were, and he doesn't know where he was at.
And
either.
I just told him I hope he didn't take home the chick I was hitting on. But
what if you he
doesn't
nobody's
remember?
Nobody's gonna know. I know. Nobody's gonna know.
It's not that fun if you don't remember.
Right. Well, I was getting my flirt on.
Except the medical bills will hurt you. Say, I don't know where that came from.
I was getting my flirt on. With
End
this
up driving the wrong way on the freeway.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, I've seen that before.
Seen that before?
Yeah. Yeah, from my own eyes.
Just get off the road.
No, I'm kidding.
Off the road. People are stupid.
I mean, how do you do that?
I don't know.
How stupid are you?
I know. And on Pioneer Exit, that's where it started, and that's ridiculous. But anyway.
Pioneer Exit?
Yeah.
Well, I've been there before. They have this restaurant that's really cool there.
Very good.
You've been there?
Yes, I have been there.
Okay.
Many times. But I wanted to mention, you know, I was getting my flirt on with this one young lady.
You're her? And then what on?
My flirt on.
Oh, flirt.
And then
I took my flirt off.
we were doing Colin Firth. Firth Bath.
No.
Oh, we did all that already. But anyway, I was getting my flirt on with this young lady, and she ordered
a hamburger.
Duck fat fried fries.
I don't know what that means.
I didn't know if Frozen would approve of that.
Of course he would not.
Right. So
not
I did
only that, but if she's eating that, I mean, ugh.
Well, no, she was very attractive, but I do want to I know Frozen's listening, so don't listen Frozen, but I did try one of the fries.
Oh, I've had
you
them.
Did?
They're good.
How are they? Are they made out of
duck? You can't tell the difference.
Yeah, I didn't care.
They're made out of duck?
It's probably in my head.
Wait a minute. Are they made out of duck?
Duck
no,
fat.
They use duck grease to fry them in.
Oh,
yeah,
duck grease.
Fat.
Duck
yeah.
fat, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't ducks. I mean, it wasn't Frozen's. But anyway, this song is As We Walk to Fenway Park in Boston Town. By Jonathan Richman. It's from Fever Pitch, starring Jimmy Fallon and Drew Barrymore.
Love that movie. Yeah, that was good.
Get out. Oh, whoa. We'll see you next segment.
All right, we'll be right back.
With all its reeds and cattails out there pining in the wind, the lights come up as the sun goes down. As we walk to Fenway Park in Boston Town. La, ta, ta, ta.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
This is 1480 KPA.